Welcome to the Coffee and Code podcast, where we bridge the gap between technology and people through each informative episode. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, technologist, two-time TEDx speaker, and CEO of Coffee and Consult. On this show, you'll hear exclusive interviews with experts, innovators, creatives, and business owners in the tech space and beyond. Whether you're a novice or a tech enthusiast, my goal is to excite, inform, and empower you to understand how the rapidly evolving world of technology impacts your daily life. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee. I am super excited to be joined by Dan here today from XRAI Glasses. And Dan's going to talk through the beauty of emerging technologies and bridging the gap in access. We have a lot to talk about in a short amount of time, but without further ado, welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that we're connected, and the beauty of technology is that we can be in different places at once, thus us doing this podcast here. But I'd rather have you share a little bit more about yourself and what XRAI Glass is instead of me describing it, because I feel like I wouldn't do it as much justice as you. So take it away.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, before I jump into X-ray, I'll spend just 20 seconds giving you a quick background on me. So I spent 20 years, in fact, in enterprise IT, building what would become the world's largest Microsoft partner. Wow. So we did lots of, you know, fairly dull work, moving servers to the cloud. It was all very interesting, but not particularly noble. So we sold that company in the summer of 2020 to a well-known IT technology company. And whilst I was on my retention, I was kind of thinking, what did I want to do? And, you know, how could I take advantage of these skills that I had amassed over the previous 20 years and put them to good use? So at the same time, I was back in the UK with my granddad, who, like many 96-year-olds, had lost almost all of his hearing, and kind of being with him, surrounded by his family, but just unable to engage in conversation. And I had this kind of epiphany, I guess, about why can't we combine real-time subtitles with these, as they were at the time, brand new augmented reality glasses to create life subtitles. And that was kind of the original genesis behind X-ray, which, again, if you haven't worked out, is a combination of XR, extended reality, plus AI. So two of the kind of hottest tech trends at the moment, we're trying to kind of fuse those together, but using AI for social good.
That's incredible. And I feel like this is a much needed piece of technology, especially as we're going to conferences again, as we're engaging with other people. And I love the fact that you were able to take your 20 years of experience and apply it to something like this that is both a mixture of technology, access, all of the three things, humanity, that I think is needed as we approach this new industrial revolution of new technology. And I think especially next year, we'll see a lot more integration of AI and hardware. We're just now starting to see kind of the cusp of it. But I'd love for you to tell me the story of 2021 when you visited your grandfather. I think that's a good place for us to start.
Absolutely, yes. So I live in Canada now. So I've been here for 4 odd years. And as I said, back in the UK with my granddad, with the rest of the family. And, you know, as many listeners will know, you know, hearing loss is a massive, massive, you know, challenge that many, many people live with. 1 in 5 of the world's population live with some form of hearing loss. It is the great hidden disability that, you know, so many people live with. And it's something that got worse and worse for him, you know, to the point where he just could not engage in conversation, even one-on-one, you know, even with the best hearing aids available, just couldn't quite, you know, manage to communicate. And that was when, as I said, this epiphany hit me about, you know, taking this speech to text, because with COVID, the technology got better and better and better. I mean, we've all come to, you know, take for granted, you know, Zoom and Teams and captioning, but I mean, that didn't really exist, you know, certainly at a level of accuracy where it's, you know, goes from being something irritating to something actually genuinely useful until the past few years. And we've also seen, you know, this huge, you know, evolution and, you know, transformation, frankly, around these augmented reality glasses. You know, they've gone from being these things, these contraptions that you kind of strap to your head that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to, you know, now available for a few hundred dollars. So, you know, those kind of two mega trends, as you said, colliding, makes it, you know, really, really interesting. The hearing loss, of course, is, you know, a huge challenge, but, you know, that's just one barrier to communication. The other big barrier to communication, of course, is language. And so as we worked with more and more of our users, they said, look, this is fantastic, but actually, you know, there are so many more use cases for this technology. You know, it's not just about helping people who've lost their hearing, it's also about helping people who don't speak the same language. So, mm-hmm. you know, taking that technology and moving it that one step further, and then, you know, the whole understanding piece and, you know, how we can actually use AI to help understand what's being said is also, you know, super interesting, because again, we can then start to help those who are also neurodiverse.
Thank you for that. I think that's an important aspect to highlight here, is that through this technology, it's letting people participate in these conversations and understand rather than being excluded. And there's a term in the disability community that I want to always share, is build with us, not for us. And I think that's really important. I have a friend, her name is Meryl, and she was born profoundly deaf. And I remember I was sitting in a conference presentation, and she couldn't understand what was going on. So what we did is some onboard transcription through my phone, and making the text a little bit bigger. That way she could understand what was going on. But with these glasses, that really bridges the gap of access and being able to easily and seamlessly have a device that bridges that gap there. So thank you for thinking of this technology more broadly. And like you mentioned, the price point is going down, which is great, which can lead to more mass adoption. I remember 2 years ago at AWE, I saw a similar prototype from a different company that was doing something similar. And my friend Meryl was also there, so she got to try it on. And she said it was such a profound experience to be able to have that. The only part that didn't work really well is that it was relying on the internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. So can you speak more to some of the technical aspects of how X-ray works?
Yes, and if it's the same Meryl that I'm thinking about, she's one of our biggest fans.
Meryl Evans!
Yes, of course.
She's amazing. I love her so much.
Yes, of course, of course. So, in fact, you know, whilst it works on glasses, it also just works on phones. So you can download the X-ray app onto your iOS or Android device, as Meryl did, and, you know, she uses it all the time. So, you know, that's kind of this, you know, journey, if you like, that users go on. You know, they first try it on the phone, make sure that they're comfortable, get to use it, and then they can upgrade to glasses. And I think I also know who the other glasses were that you were talking about, and they shall remain nameless.
Yes.
But without going into, you know, too much detail here, we're now into the world of different transcription engines. Mm-hmm. And different transcription engines have different characteristics and they do different things. Now, one of the interesting things about X-ray is we're one of the first apps in the world that allows you to use different transcription engines.
Wow.
So the engine that is actually turning the audio into the text.
Okay.
So with X-ray, for instance, you can choose to have Microsoft do that for you, or Amazon do that for you, or DeepGram do that for you, so these different providers. Or you can choose to have it done on the device itself.
Wow.
Now, the trade-off, of course, if you do it on the device itself, it's nowhere near as accurate.
Hmm.
So it's free, but the quality is less.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take advantage of the high fidelity and high quality that, you know, users really demand, then you have to go to the cloud. So at that point, then you require Wi-Fi or cellular access. So it will work without Wi-Fi and internet, but unfortunately, the accuracy will drop, and that's just a feature of the power that is available in the cloud. You know, the accuracy is just a lot higher, unfortunately.
But that's good. It's better than nothing, honestly,
mm-hmm.
to have that there. And I'm glad that you explained that, because I think that brings a little bit more specifics to light about the complexity of transcription. It's much more complicated than most people think. And a lot of companies have been trying to figure it out, I would say in VR at least, and mm-hmm. no one has really done it in a way that makes sense, because of the power it takes is so much. I'm glad you can choose where you can have your transcriptions done. That's really innovative, and bravo on being the first company to offer that type of innovation.
And I mean, this is just point in time, of course. You know, you fast forward 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. You know, right now the current darling is NVIDIA. And
oh, yeah.
So all of their AI stuff, but that stuff is all designed to run in data centers, big centralized clouds. Qualcomm, who you have probably also heard of course, Qualcomm's vision is that all of this technology runs at the edge. So they are making more and more and more powerful chips, and they're making those chips smaller and smaller and smaller So, as I said, within 6, 12, 18 months, you're going to see the accuracy of the models that are able to run either on phones or glasses, get better and better.
Incredible. And I feel like there are several use cases for this type of technology, not just for deaf and hard of hearing, like you mentioned, neurodivergent. I identify as someone who is neurodivergent and has ADHD, and very frequently will I use transcription just to help me reinforce what it is that I'm reading or listening to. Just maintaining that focus makes a huge difference. And I think I read a stat recently. I think 80% of people on Instagram view their content with subtitles or captions and watch videos silently, because you never know, you might be with a baby or you might be in an environment that's really quiet. So the use cases here are pretty broad, and I'm really thinking education-wise, like seeing that in the classroom. Can you speak more to the variety of use cases here that someone might be interested in?
I mean, our biggest challenge is almost not what to do, but what not to do, because there are so many use cases that you could put this technology to. But again, we think of it in three broad categories. So we think about, transcription, translation, and assistant. So, transcription is all around accessibility, and that's all about captions, basically. Translation, of course, is all about breaking down language barriers. So, again, there's that unlocks a whole kimono of different use cases once you start to break down language. And then finally, the assistant, the understanding, again, that is all focused around helping people to understand that. But education is, a great example. We can help deaf students by giving them captions. We can help for students for whom English is not their first language with real-time translation of exactly what's been said. And we can help them with an assistant in terms of being able to summarize and ask questions and, ask clarifying information. We can help neurodiverse individuals. We haven't got this yet, but this is, kind of where this technology is going. Imagine you could say, right, I want you to take everything that you hear, but I want you to compress it by 50% in real time.
Whoa, that's huge.
So we've now got an agent in real time, effectively the same meaning, but in 50% fewer words. So you've got technologies like that, and real-time summarization, and there's so many different ways that we can help. Now that's just on a kind of individual basis. One of the other really interesting things that we've done, and you mentioned earlier around AWE, is take all of this technology and then make it available to events companies and to theatres and to airports and to train stations and to anywhere effectively where more than one person wants to listen to the same thing at once, if you like. So AWE, of course, is the great example. So now we can take this exact same software that's running on my phone, but I can now install it on a laptop. And I can now, instead of taking audio from the microphone on the phone, I can now take it from the lapel mics connected to the people on stage via their Dante audio network. I can then do multi-channel transcription, so I can then have a separate engine running for each one of the speakers so that I work out who's
Wow.
saying what. I then label the mic effectively, so I can say this person is this microphone. And then you just press go. And now it's transcribing, for presenters in real time, properly diarizing them. And it is then also broadcasting all those transcriptions out to the entire local network. So anybody who is in that venue can just pull out their phone. It pops up and says, there's a stream available, a bit like hearing loop, if you like. And said, yep, I want to connect to that stream. And they can then view the subtitles, but they can also view them in whatever language they like. So even though the presenter is speaking in English, they can say, well, I want them in Spanish, please. And then literally in real time, they're coming through in Spanish. If you've got a pair of augmented reality glasses, you can put the glasses on and then the same thing, except it's coming up in augmented reality.
Wow, that is incredible. And I want to emphasize two things here. One, multi-channel is difficult. And so what that means for the audience is, imagine you're getting a transcription and it's just one long transcription of everyone on stage talking. Let's say that's a fireside chat and there's four people on stage. Well, context is really important, and understanding who is speaking is also important. So having that minor detail can make a huge difference in understanding the context. And that's where I see a lot of companies fail. They don't consider that multimodal, that multi-channel aspect.
Well, funnily enough, this particular part of the platform started in theatre. So you can
Really?
imagine in a theatre, it's absolutely essential to know who said what. It could be critical to the plot line, of course. So that was who first said to us, can you support Dante? So Dante is like the industry standard that's used everywhere, basically. So we can now just plug into a Dante network and we can receive up to 64 channels in real time.
That is amazing. Ah, I'm putting a lot of dots together because I think a year or two ago, I know what you're talking about, that theater company. I believe there was a group that was performing and playing around with multimodal or multi-channel transcriptions of a performance. It was a short experiment. I can't remember who did it. It may have been MIT, not so sure, but that blew my mind. I'll find the link and send it to you sometime. But the second thing I wanted to cover here is for those of you don't know that are listening, AWE stands for Augmented World Expo. It's one of the leading conferences that happen around the world, and the one in the US happens annually, and this year it's happening in June. This is being recorded in May, but it will go live before AWE. But the special part about this version of AWE is that it's the 15-year anniversary, and for the first time, it's happening in Long Beach, California. There's going to be about 6,000 people there, which is really exciting. And I would love to hear an exciting update from you, Dan. I believe X-Ray and AWE are the official collaborative partners. So do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So last year was in fact my first AWE. So as I said, I spent 20 years, moving servers to the cloud, so I didn't get to come to exciting events like AWE. But now I'm doing X-Ray for the first time ever. I got to come to AWE last year, and so now for the second time we're coming. I am thrilled to announce that X-Ray is going to be the official AI accessibility partner for AWE. What does that mean? It means that all nine stages are going to be subtitled in 140 different languages. So all of the 6,000 attendees will be able to come to the event, pull out their smart glasses or pull out their smartphone and tune in to any one of those nine stages and read what's going on in 140 different languages.
Well, congratulations on that partnership. That is huge. And it's exciting to see the improvement of accessibility over time. It's about progress over perfection, as our friend Meryl would say. And I feel like this act is moving that one step forward to seeing modeled behavior of how conferences and live events can be a bit more accessible with just a small adjustment.
Well, I think really it's the technology that's come on leaps and bounds that's really unlocked this. This technology used to be astronomically expensive, like eye-wateringly expensive, to the point where I'm not surprised that it wasn't used that often because it was very expensive. With technology like X-ray, I mean, we have just slashed the price. I mean, just orders of magnitude cheaper than this technology has ever been before. So, rather than having to save up to do one stage, you can now do all nine stages. You don't have to pick and choose what to make accessible anymore. You can just make everything accessible.
That's great. So, question for you that just popped up in my head. So, for example, right now, Meta is really pushing their Meta Ray-Ban collaboration, right? Of being able to live capture videos and content. Would there be any possibility in the future of something like X-Ray being able to implement into those, like those Ray-Ban glasses that Meta has?
So Meta have been very, very clever by describing those glasses as smart glasses. They're not
Smart glasses.
augmented reality glasses. They're not like any of these other glasses. They're just a microphone and a speaker. So, I mean, they're lovely devices, don't get, and the camera. I mean, they're great, don't get me wrong. And, they're starting to make it okay to have cameras built into these glasses, which is where Google, of course, fell foul originally. But they're smart glasses in the loosest sense of the word. I mean, and they're not augmented reality glasses, so they're not something necessarily that X-Ray is designed for, because we're all about AR and VR and mixed reality and all those kinds of things. I mean, we could at some point, but you've got to stay focused. There's so many things we could do, so we're just
True.
going to stay focused on that AR and XR. But there are all kinds of new glasses coming out, and there are some announcements coming at AWE from a couple of different glasses manufacturers around different glasses that they're launching, which we are involved in, which is quite exciting. And we also have our own little announcement that we're going to be making as well. So, I mean, the form factors are getting better and better and better. And again, in that same, 6, 12, 18-month time horizon, you're going to start to be. You might start to see something that looks a bit like that Ray-Ban Meta thing that's actually a set of augmented reality glasses, but maybe that's still another 6 or 12 months beyond that.
Well, it's not very far away, though, if you think
Oh.
about it, which is exciting.
Oh, it's years. It's like, 2026, 2027, you're going to start to see, completely normal looking glasses that are full augmented reality.
And I think that's the one key that increases mass adoption is that wearability. Do I look cool in it? Will my friends think I'm wearing cool glasses? Are they not as expensive as the other ones? So I'm glad the price point's going down. I think that's huge because that's what ultimately increases adoption is the ability for people to access. That's why, VR really took off whenever Meta decided to release Oculus Quest for like what $500 for the first one, and then it went down to like $300 for the next one. It's going to continue to do that.
So, I mean, these ones, for instance, I mean, these are the X-Real glasses. I mean, X-Real are the market leader. They've got 50% market share. And yeah, these ones are $400, $450, something like that. So, you compare that to the HoloLens, glasses like that, the Magic Leap, they're 2.5. So you've got the Apple Vision Pro 3.5. I mean, these are just orders of magnitude cheaper than these other glasses.
And those were a hot item last year at AWE. I remember the lines were so long to try them out, and a lot of people were walking out saying, "I want to buy these right then, right there," which was really exciting. So I cannot wait to hear what this exciting announcement is at AWE. It's going to be really exciting to hear that in live. But one of my favorite things about AWE is, as you mentioned, the excitement of new technology, being able to hear exciting updates and news from companies like yourself, and seeing how that really impacts the world of technology in real time. I would say between CES and AWE, those are my two favorite conferences that I feel like you're able to understand and keep your finger on the pulse of what's the latest and greatest tech, who's innovating, who's thinking beyond, and what can I keep an eye out for. So I always want to just give credit where credit is due of people thinking more innovatively and not just trying to copy what everyone else is doing. So bravo to you and your team for thinking outside the box. But I also want to touch on your team as well, because I did some research. You have an incredible team with a wealth of depth and breadth of experience. So can you talk a little bit more about how you built your team to get to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, we're blessed with an exceptional team, and we might be small, but we're certainly mighty. And I've been a big believer that one A player can do the work of 5 or 10 average people. So actually being highly, highly selective with the people that you employ is super important. So like I said, we're blessed with some exceptionally talented people, because I mean this is hard stuff. Many people say to me, "Oh, it's just captions, I could knock that up in an afternoon." And you're like, "Oh, well, really? I'd love to see you try, because I mean, we've been at this for 2 years, and it's, trust me, it's quite hard." So, we've got some incredible technical skills in the company. Our marketing, again, we like to think, considering we're such a tiny company, we kind of punch above our weight in terms of our brand and the way we kind of position ourselves. The fact that we're a global company, again, it just blows my mind. Remote first, we have customer users in just about every single country in the entire world, right? And that's just through the power of people hearing about this technology, and because there's such a great need for it. So it's just, a lot of experienced folks all coming together to hopefully change the world.
That's exciting. And it's a true testament of when you lead with the right intent, the rest takes care of itself for the most part.
And that's the thing, when at midnight, when you're burning the candle at both ends, and when it's hard, because it is hard, like really, really, really hard. If anyone tells you running a startup is easy, then they're lying to you. It's hard. But when you see the reaction that people have when they put the glasses on for the first time, or when we get emails in saying, I've been able to leave the house for the first time in a decade, or I'm able to talk to my daughter that I haven't been able to do, and it honestly brings tears to our eyes still, like 2 years later. You can't get over that, I don't think. And that's what really motivates the team. If you've got that purpose and that undying thing that you're trying to drive, that change, that's what motivates teams. It's not other stuff.
Truly, truly, because you're elevating the human experience via technology. And it's really about putting it in the hands of the people that see that value. So I'm curious, since you were in your global company, have you had any issues with technology regulation, at least here in the US?
Not yet.
Okay, that's good.
No. Now, I mean, one of the things that we did right from the outset, which is quite interesting, was to design this in a completely decentralized model. So you could imagine the kinds of conversations that people might have with this, which again is ironic because I spent 10 years telling everyone to move everything to the cloud. And I'm now saying, whoa, I accept this stuff. The conversation data. I'm not sure about that. We process in the cloud, as I said, but we never store in the cloud. And, you know, all of the data is only ever stored on the user's device. You know, we haven't built this company around marketing or advertising or listening to people's conversations or, you know, the business models of, you know, some of these other companies. So everything's stored on the user's device. And, you know, through that myopic focus on privacy and security and, you know, hopefully that should hold us in good stead, you know, as this company continues to grow. But it's an interesting area, of course. You know, the EU is trying to over-regulate everything and make life difficult. So I can't say it will be an easy ride, but All we can do is navigate these things as they come.
Absolutely. I want to touch on one thing here is that inherently you built on inclusive design principles, and that has set you up for success of where we are here. Everyone should be doing that, but not everyone does. So bravo for thinking ahead of that, because it's going to be interesting to see how the EU framework is going to impact the US. I know a lot of policymakers, scientists, you name it, are trying to like figure it all out. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I love that you have built X-Ray on a decentralized model. I think as we continue to progress on just random user education, just the typical average person, there will start to be more increased value of having a decentralized model versus 100% cloud processing versus what everyone else is doing.
But if you compare it to a certain orange little device here that you log into all of your applications through their cloud and give them your passwords, that's like the complete opposite of what we want to do. That terrifies the heck out of me. Whereas, again, what we're doing is all owned and governed by the users.
That's incredible. So that makes me a question for you. So are you using the users' basically input as its own data set language learning model?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely not. No way. And in fact, we've opted out on all the hyperscalers of doing that on users' behalf. We don't see anything. X-Ray doesn't see anything. Like, there's an app running on people's phone that talks directly to Microsoft, gets, or Amazon, or whoever else, gets the transcripts back. You know, we're not involved in that in any way. And then As soon as Microsoft's done its thing, it deletes any trace, and all that's left is whatever is on the device. That's it.
Wow, that's great. See, I love that you're building integrity into your technology, which is benefiting the end consumer, whether they know it or not.
Well, it also helps with enterprises, of course, because it's not just consumers that want to buy this. You know, we're talking to tons and tons of big companies, governments, defense companies, all kinds of different people. Like, you know, because there's so many people this can help. And it turns out, of course, that privacy is somewhat important to them as well. In fact, for our enterprise customers, we can go one step further and we can actually deploy X-Ray into their cloud. So now, instead of using our Microsoft, we're using their Microsoft. Not that it really matters. It's more a spitting hairs kind of thing. But again, for companies, that stuff is important. So the fact that we can say to them, no, this data is only going into your cloud, or only being processed, rather, in your cloud, that's even more attractive to them. So you now have it available on the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. So companies can just buy it through Microsoft.
Incredible. And I think I just saw yesterday, one of the big four consulting firms here in the United States, PwC, is now offering pretty much AI consulting for companies on an enterprise level. And I could definitely see that being a harmony of service to offer to companies.
It's a practical use case of AI. I mean, everyone's desperate for things to use AI for. And actually, transcription and translation are two of the best known, most battle hard and most useful, I would argue, forms of AI. And you can literally now with X-Ray turn them on inside your company tomorrow.
Amazing. Now, how have you ever encountered a user who maybe has apprehension to AI, and how do you talk them through that? Because that's what I kind of see now is people either love it or they hate it or they have no idea what they don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's the last point is the most important one. It's about bringing it to life to people. You know, what do we mean by AI? You know, we're not talking about the Matrix and, it's not yet anyway, maybe one day. When we talk about AI, we talk about transcription and translation. Here is a real practical use case of this technology. Now, they may well come back and say, "Oh, is my conversations training these models?" And they'll have apprehensions around that. And obviously, we can very easily put those to rest. And beyond that, actually, people don't have that much apprehension. Again, they can see that the power that this technology unlocks and want to take advantage of it.
Yes, which is exciting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what 2025 is going to have in store for us on that front. Now, Dan, I'm curious. So you and your team, this has been a rapid acceleration. I mean, from that 2021 visit to your grandfather to now 2024, that's an incredible accelerated growth because of your and your team's background expertise, I think really helped with that. But what is one piece of advice you would go back and tell yourself in 2021, compared to where you are now?
Well, I mean, we didn't actually start until 2022, so we're just over 2 years old. We had our second birthday this month.
Congratulations, that's
Thank you.
exciting.
I know. Yes, made it to the terrible twos. What would be the advice I would give? I don't know. I mean, I ask myself quite often, what would I have gone back and changed, and what would I have done differently? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we went out big, like big. Perhaps I might have gone a little bit slower, given that, we launched just about coinciding with the greatest economic recession in known history. And, so that was terrible timing. But what can you do? You are where we are.
True.
We had the big problems working with other vendors, so the other glasses manufacturers. But with our own new glasses coming out, that kind of solves for that one as well. That's a really bad answer because I can't actually think of anything. But I don't know. It's...
No, I like that. I like that a lot. And I'm curious, what is your vision for the future? So let's say fast forward 10 years. I know that's kind of hard to think about, or maybe just 5 years. What is your vision for, like, what is the peak, the pie in the sky for X-ray? What does that look like for you?
I mean, we see X-ray very much as, almost the Spotify of XR. Whatever device you're on, whatever glasses you're on, wherever you are, if you want to bring that intelligent layer, if you like, around transcription, translation, understanding, whatever it might be, X-ray is going to be your go-to piece of software that you use for that. And, there are so many things that we can do. The assistant, of course, there are so many things that assistants can do to the point where it literally is an actual assistant rather than just a gimmick, and can actually go do things for me. All of this stuff that's a little pie in the sky right now is not going to be pie in the sky in 5 or 10 years' time. So that's really interesting. Sign language, if we kind of go back to our roots, that's an area that fascinates us. There's a set of individuals that we can't help today, and we feel bad about that, and we really want to. And that technology is starting to come on leaps and bounds. Certainly, text to sign is within touching distance, and we hope that's something we're going to be able to introduce very soon. Sign to text is orders of magnitude harder, but even that, hopefully, within the next 2, 3 years, perhaps, we might be able to see some stuff in that. But yeah, I think mainly it's that assistant, it's that ability to be able to augment your world with, relevant, pertinent information. And I have no idea the kinds of things that it's going to be possible to augment your world with in 5 or 10 years' time. But I'm going to go with a lot of really interesting things. So we're in a good spot, we hope.
Absolutely. And one thing that I learned from Meryl that she taught me very early on is never assume that if someone is deaf, they know sign language. Not everyone who's deaf knows sign language. And that blew my mind. And I was like, why wouldn't I think that? But I've seen a few companies try their hand at this, at the sign language. And sign language is very, there's, you've got American Sign Language, you've got British Sign Language, and these are can be different types of alphabets and different types of ways to communicate. So it's really important to have that accuracy. And some apps are just doing hand sign, which is like a very, very basic level of communication, not actual American Sign Language. So I'd love to see a company actually execute this well and have it implemented in the community.
Yeah, and you know, there are lots of people playing with it, and you see these videos go around every now and again on LinkedIn, go, hey, you know, so students work this out, you know, really? Like, you know, there's a lot of very clever people been trying to work this out for a long time, trust me. Like, it's not like some kid has suddenly like had a breakthrough here, but it's ridiculous. But anyway, you know, it will come. But it's again all about back to that conversation we had before around how can we get the processing power to the edge. Because you know you need really, really powerful processors. You need, it's always called, you know, vision kind of analysis, if you like. So you know, taking cameras and doing real-time motion capture and just hellishly complicated maths that I can't even begin to understand. But you need very powerful chips to do that. So as you get more and more power at the edge, then you'll be able to do, you know, more and more interesting things. But as you said, it's non-trivial. It's not like sign language is a language. You know, there's dozens of different sign languages around the world, and then for each one of those, it's not a precise thing. It's not like printed characters. I mean, when someone signs, they're almost performing. In fact, there's all kinds of interesting discussions that I've had with people around intellectual property rights of the training data for these automated signing things, because actually you put two signers next to each other and they will sign very differently. You know, people will actually say, I like to work with this signer because I like the way they sign. And actually that is IP that that signer owns. So actually, if they're going to train a model, like why shouldn't they get something back from that? Or why should a
Absolutely.
user not be able to say, I don't just want the signing avatar, I want Dan's, you know, interpretation or Dan's, you know, sign language model to be used. And but then you're into ownership rights, and it's the same problem with the actors, of course, they having their voices and their likenesses used, let's just say. And you've got the same thing now with sign language. If you want to, people to train the models, how do you deal with ownership?
That's a really good point. I never put that two and two together, but it makes sense because all of the sign performers that I've seen during concerts or conferences where music is playing, a good signer that has the energy and I would say flair, their own flair, those are the most engaging types of signers. Like it gets the crowd excited together. And I remember, I think I went to a conference a couple of years ago. And we were doing karaoke. It was a disability conference, and we were doing karaoke. And there was a signer on stage. And the day after, everyone was complimenting the signer on bringing that level of excitement and enthusiasm to his signing. That, like, I would absolutely want that type of signer versus someone who is not going to be more energetic. But everyone has their own preferences.
This is it. And you're right when you said it's a side performer. It's a performance. And you know, how do you capture the essence of that performance in machine learning? It's a non-trivial exercise, which is why it's still several years away from being perfected.
But you make a good point of helping people understand of the intellectual property behind humanism and like human creativity and what you're putting out there. We're in a world of everything is being trained on everything. And if you have a public profile on Instagram or Facebook, your content's likely being used to train AI models like Sora, the text to video, which is interesting to think about, but it's what a time to be alive, right?
I know, but it's not just likely, it is 100%. Because again, the way these models work is everyone's used data is boiled down into some magic algorithm that then spits things out. So yes, right now, every single person's data is being used. And again, I'll use the word used until the legalities of it are figured out. But
Yeah,
like a
wow.
fascinating time to be alive and having to solve these riddles. They're interesting riddles to solve.
Truly, truly. Well, that's what I love most about technology, though. It keeps us on our toes. There's always something new and exciting to dive into, and always a challenge that, you know, presents like a complicated math problem. But this has been an incredible conversation, Dan. I want to make sure that everyone who is listening can follow along on X-Ray and see these exciting updates that you have coming up. So for everyone listening, where would you like to direct them to follow along on this exciting journey of yours?
So the best place to go is our website, and at the bottom you'll see the links to all of our various different social platforms. So that's XRAI period glass, X-ray glass.
Fabulous. And I will be sure to link that in the show notes. That way, everyone that's listening can access that. We're very inclusive here, so it also includes a transcription. But I really, really appreciate you coming on the show, Dan. I know you're super busy, especially with AWE coming up in like just a, less than 3 weeks. Today it's May 31st and it's happening June 18th to the 20th, so it'll be here before we know it. I can't wait to see X-Ray in real time. I can't wait to meet you, IRL, and the rest of the XR AWE community. It's going to be incredible. If you're listening and you want to go to AWE, we have a special discount code for listeners. It's Coffee Coded, Coffey Coded. You'll get 20% off of your ticket. Would love to see you there. And if you are a part of some of the recent tech layoffs, there is an option for you as well. Head on over to AWE's website and fill out a form. And you never know what might happen, but would love to see you there. It's a great opportunity to connect with like-minded people, see innovations like X-Ray, and even more so, be inspired to be a part of that change in technology. But thank you so much for sharing your time and your knowledge and your energy with the Coffee and Code community today, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight and looking forward to meeting in person.
Likewise, likewise. Well, I will see you there.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coffee and Code. Your support means everything, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more insights, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. Stay curious, stay informed. Until next time, stay hydrated and do something nice for someone.